just like you, we're all about sports. And the things that make sports great, like beer and wings. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
I'm Craig Sheeman, along with Pete Shepard. Chris on the other side of glass. Sheeman and Shepard on ESPN Southwest Florida. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Cedric Maxwell will be on the program. We'll preview game one of the NBA Finals, two-time NBA champ and NBA Finals MVP.
What a ham he was the other night handing off the trophies. He's such a fun guy. But it's he's been on it before. He's just fun.
I always enjoy talking to him. Also, we are watching Scotland and Ukraine play soccer. First time Ukraine's played since the war. They're playing in Scotland, obviously, in Glasgow. A lot of the crowd very supportive of Ukraine, even though it's a road match for them. Pittsburgh John says, Chris, as a U.S. soccer fan, who should I be rooting for in this one? I just say root for Ukraine.
Sentimental.
It's a good feel story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it has any long-term effect on Team USA, right?
Well, no, it does.
Yeah, because that's
the winner of this game will play Wales, and the winner of that game will be in the group with the U.S. at the World Cup. All right. It does matter.
So do you have a preference? Is there a better...
I mean, Scotland's
as long as
Ukraine.
It's not Wales, I'm fine. I'm not going to tell anybody to root against Ukraine right now.
Okay.
Feel like that's not a cool thing to do.
Doesn't feel cool. Vols fan says that intro music sounded more like Rick Church than Chris.
Okay.
You played that one before.
They both play it. They both share. Sometimes. But point taken.
Noted.
All right, we got some more sound to come up. We'll hear from Heather Dinich on what's going on in the SEC. And we'll check in on the Tampa Bay Lightning as they get ready to...
Yeah, Jimbo spoke today.
Do we have that?
No, he didn't.
Did he deflect?
Yeah.
He didn't say anything?
No. I'll tell you what he said.
That's sorely disappointing. All right, we'll get to that in a minute.
You're disappointing.
Well, that was totally uncalled for. Why am I a disappointment?
You're right.
All I said is a disappointment that Jimbo didn't go off on your coach. That's where this is coming from.
You're right. It's not you. It's me.
You're coming up with it's not you, it's me?
I invented that.
Costanza.
It is 6 minutes and 17 seconds past the hour. It's time for a SportsCenter rundown, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Chris.
SportsCenter update brought to you by Best Home Services. Service appointments available now. GetBest.com.
Adam Schefter is among many others reporting Kyler Murray will be on the field for the Cardinals today, making it the first time he's shown up to any offseason team activities. Rams coach Sean McVay told reporters contract discussions between the team and Aaron Donald are trending in the right direction. Donald has said this offseason he will retire without receiving a new deal. John Madden will be on the cover of Madden 23, scheduled to be out in August. Madden passed away in December.
And that's it. All right. He was last on the cover in 2000. How about that?
Way to go.
Thank you.
I wanted to, in 2 seconds, Chris, if we can play this from yesterday. I don't know if anybody's seen Finney's setup for the SEC.
Finney!
He's on the beach, literally on the beach in Destin, Florida.
Really?
Yeah.
Rock on.
It's amazing. But
I got a stupid question.
Yeah.
Are these meetings in Destin? Or are they?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't even know where they were. I knew they were happening.
Again, these are the SEC meetings for every coach. Every sport has to be there for this.
Okay.
So women's golf, men's golf, whatever. But anyway, so here's Heather, here's Greeny and Finey talking about – Chris is probably going to get upset about this, but we'll see.
Okay.
Here it is, a little discussion on a get-up.
Tell us what you think. Give us your big picture view of Saban yesterday.
It was quintessential Saban, Greeny. Anyone who has been around him for any amount of time knew what he was going to say. Nick Saban never engages other coaches. That's below him. That's not what he does. He's the greatest of all time. And he treated Jimbo Fisher yesterday like a fly on your potato salad at the Memorial Day company picnic. Get away. You're not really important. You're not worthy. And I think Saban was smart. He acted like it was no big deal. I didn't say anything. He was challenged, and obviously you can call him disingenuous or call him just Nick Saban. This is not the first time he's spoken. He has really worked several members of the media privately over the last couple of months, and you know a few of them very well. And he's been trying to get his message out, but he really didn't get it out very effectively, because his message, as important as he is not going to really change anything. But as another coach told me yesterday, Nick Saban's concerned about a couple of things. You know, we make a big deal about his age. He'll be 71. He's not old in the parlance of coaching, but he doesn't have as much runway as these other coaches, including Jimbo Fisher. So every recruiting class is critical for him to try to pile on some more national championships. And what he had over the rest of college football, he doesn't have, and that's a stranglehold. And that stranglehold has now been spread out. And Jimbo Fisher in Texas A&M, incredibly, is in better shape to recruit under the NIL model than Alabama, because they have so much more money at Texas A&M and in Texas.
All right.
But, I mean, the waves, you got to see the set. It's just,
waves are lovely.
Beautiful.
You ever been to Destin, Florida, Pete Shepherd?
I have. Yeah. Yes.
Beautiful. Beautiful
yes,
water.
Yes, I have. About 6 months ago.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. Here's Heather Denich on SportsCenter. She's making the rounds. And she has some thoughts on the SEC coach's thoughts on Saban versus Jimbo.
Georgia coach Kirby Smart downplayed it. He said to the reporters, if you guys could just listen in on headphones one Saturday, you'd think what happened between them was Mickey Mouse. There were other coaches like Missouri's Eli Drinkwitz who talked about this is a serious issue and it needs to be discussed seriously behind closed doors, not in the public. He said it needs to happen where coaches feel like they can talk freely. And Shane Beamer said, look, we had a meeting in February where a lot of this was on the table. This was obviously before the spat, and these conversations were intense. So the coaches are saying, look, we all have high emotions. We care about college football, our teams and our universities. This shouldn't have happened publicly, but they say that they're going to act professionally behind these closed doors where they absolutely need to talk it out.
So I'm to deduce from that back in February, maybe Jimbo and Nick were, among others, sitting across the table kind of yelling at each other and all your money there at College Station and all that kind of stuff. Got a little hot. That's how I deduce that.
I wouldn't doubt it, but
that would be awesome. Somebody needs to drop a microphone in that room. That'd be gold.
Gold, Jerry. Gold.
All right. Well, I was hoping Jimbo would have stayed hot, but he's apparently
Jimbo,
calmed down a little bit.
Let me find the quote. Jimbo
what did he say?
Just said,
Moving on up.
Jimbo Fisher on comments between him and Nick Saban. Quote, it's over with. We're done talking about it. There's a lot more pressing needs in college football. Basically okay. It. Yep.
Right. Yeah, he cooled down.
He cooled down.
Yeah.
You think his AD told him to cool down, or the commissioner told him to cool down?
I just don't know. Both. I mean, Sankey said stop it.
I don't know what's going
to
– like what would come of him continuing to say – like at this point, talking about he said – she's just a
– Yeah, it's over.
They don't see eye to eye on this. Mm-hmm. I understand where both guys are coming from. As Heather Denich said, it is a big advantage for Texas A&M mm-hmm. and Texas and these schools with massive – donor bases.
Stuff we brought up a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's exactly one of the first things I said. I said, if you compare Texas to Alabama money-wise, you're going to lose. Most states you're going to lose.
And I think
the oil over there.
It is good for college football. And I can take my Alabama hat off and say that Alabama winning a championship every year or being one of the, you know, them, Georgia, Ohio State, and, you know, throw Oklahoma in there. Like, that's not good for the sport to have the same teams every year. I think this nil money is going to literally spread the wealth. Yeah. I think that kids are going to see that if you're not getting playing time, you're not going to have access to this money. If these five stars at Texas A&M, they signed eight of them this year. Mm-hmm. If they go out and sign another eight next year, not all of them are going to get to play. They're not all going to be on the field, and they're going to lose some of that mm-hmm. NIL money. Mm-hmm. They're going to be upset, and guess what? They're going to transfer somewhere where they can get on the field. So now Missouri gets talent that they didn't have before. Or it goes to Oklahoma State or, you know, wherever it goes to. It's good for college football, I think.
Yeah, I do too. And it's good for college sports, period. It just is.
I think you're seeing it in college basketball as well. You've got some, You've got some players coming back to school this year.
Yeah.
That I don't know if they would have done that under, you know, a format with no nil.
1,000% agree with you.
So it's going to be good for the sport, and it will, but it'll take time to level out. What's that saying? Like, water finds its level? Mm-hmm. This will find its level. Donors aren't going to want to keep paying millions of dollars to get kids out of high school that don't perform on the field.
Yeah.
They'll figure it out.
And it's not that Alabama can't come up with big-time boosters to compete with Texas A&M. There's just more at Texas A&M. And you know, some other places as well. Miami's got a huge, you know, big-time money. Other schools, too. USC, I bet, has big-time money.
But to what Nick Saban said in the original soundbite in Birmingham a few weeks ago, it's going to take one time for a donor to say, oh, look at, you know, tell all of his buddies, look at this five-star I got. I paid for him to, you know, I gave him the money to come to this school.
Yeah.
That guy's not going to get on the field, and that donor's going to say, what's up?
Right.
I paid good money to get this talented player to Texas A&M or wherever, and you're not playing him, coach. What's up? What gives? Okay, now you want my money again to go get another five-star? Well, you didn't play the last one I brought to town.
Yeah.
And he signed on with my business. It'll level itself out. It's just when you put the nil and the transfer portal rules in effect in back-to-back within three off seasons of each other, and there are no rules, it's going to be the wild west at first.
What surprises me is and I agree with everything you said, is that Nick didn't see this coming. I don't think he saw it coming. Or he's like, don't worry, we'll still be here. And then all of a sudden, wham, whoa. Look what A&M is doing. Look what John Ruiz is doing in Miami.
Do you think that Nick just thought he had such a stranglehold on college football recruiting, everybody wanted to go there as their ticket to the NFL, that he really didn't need to worry about nil as much as everybody else?
Partially, I think that is the case. But I also think I don't think he thought nil was going to be as big as it was. We knew the first day it happened, when the Twins signed at Fresno State basketball, the ones who are now playing at Miami. You saw it that day. I'm like, this is a college basketball, women's college basketball team that no one gives a damn about. They are two great-looking girls who are also great basketball players, by the way. Mm-hmm. Their TikTok thing is all, and they were the first ones to capitalize on it. And it just, I'm like, if they're doing this, what's going to happen in you know, men's basketball and obviously in football? I mean, it was inevitable that it was going to happen. That's why I think he was caught off guard. Not a lot, but I think a little bit.
I don't think that's the case. I don't think Nick Saban's ever going to be caught off guard. The guy just put together the second ranked recruiting class in the country.
No, I'm not talking about getting recruited. I'm not talking about recruitings. I'm talking about the effect of nil. I think he was a tad caught off guard about how big it was going to be. Not affecting his recruiting class, which I know it kind of does. I don't think he thought nil was going to be this big this fast is all. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it affects his recruiting.
I don't know one way or the other if that's right or wrong. I think that, you know,
that's
everybody.
My opinion,
I think
so
every. Yeah, and yeah. I think everybody in turn. And that's why I've always said I think there needs to be some sort of, like, if you get guys boxing against each other, you don't just send them out somewhere in an open field. You put them in a ring so that they're working in the same space. I think everybody needs to be working in the same space in nil. Name, image, and likeness. I think everybody needs to be working under the same parameters. I think that that's what's fair out of all this. But when those parameters aren't in place, there's how many Division I programs across the country, not just for football, but 300 plus?
Yeah, 300 plus, absolutely.
Okay, well, then there's going to be 300 different ideas on how to implement nil.
Like, right. And it's too late for that. And that's if Congress gets involved. It's going to be very difficult to enforce the type of rules that others want to enforce now, because you're going to have to prove that boosters are not pointing people in the right direction. There's a lot of gray area in the nil rules. Don't get me wrong. We know that.
Correct. And
some people are handling it the right way as a business. Others are kind of, you know, winging it a
little
bit.
Who's to say who's handling it the right way?
The only rule we have to go by is that the schools are not supposed to be procuring the money for the student athletes. Yeah. I don't know if that's realistic or not.
Which we know is not true at Texas A&M. We know that's not the case at Texas A&M.
We are under the presumption that they all had a little meeting on day one, says, all right, you boosters, let's put together a collective pool. All right, $30 million, let's go get them. I totally...
Cover your tracks. Cover your paper trails.
Yeah.
Cover your texts.
Yeah.
You know, just point. But they can't stop somebody from saying, go see him.
Yeah.
I don't want my position on this to come across like I'm saying Alabama has done it clean for the last few years. No. I understand that at any big time pro, it's like when Lance Armstrong was winning all the Tour de France's. How are you telling me that everybody else is cheating and the one guy doing it clean right. is winning all the races?
Right.
No, I understand Alabama's been cheating like every other big time college football program. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm just saying since we've taken the lid off, we need to just figure out okay. How do we make sure everybody's working under the same parameters, mm-hmm. under the same guidelines? Like Miami. Miami's seen the good and the bad of this. They get the
John Ruiz is a big
the twin or the twins yeah. from Fresno State. They bring those girls in and it's gonna do wonders for
And then they were held hostage by the basketball player
exactly.
on the close
exactly.
of business yeah. Friday deal.
He says I need an extra $100,000 and if you don't come up with it, I'm in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
And that's Isaiah Wong. Like he's yeah, and he's then, a good basketball player and
then all of a sudden
they get it.
There was. Hmm. And I don't know why that went public. That was just a mistake. But
well, put it in the paper.
Well, I know, which is crazy. I'm sure that kind of stuff has been going on with all different types of athletes. And again, sometimes you hear about stuff. I mean, you don't hear about things that are going on in some of the quote-unquote lesser sports.
Mm-hmm.
But they do happen.
Ukraine right. scored. They're up 1-0 on
score. Good for them. No. Please.
No, you do it for this one.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a good one.
That's go,
good.
Ukraine.
That's fine.
All right, one more piece of sound here, and then I want to make sure we get out on time because we got Sed coming up in a minute. Here's John Buchagross.
All right, it's going around, Craig.
Bucci.
From ESPN Radio. Talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight as they have game one of the East Final against the Rangers, 8 o'clock. He says this is what makes Tampa so good.
Incredible talent. You get lucky on a couple guys, a couple third-round picks like a Braden Point. And then even, you know, when you lose that the whole third line over this summer, you know, Gord, Coleman, and Goodrow, and you kind of recreate another one, and then, bam, you're right back at it. But it really is all about the great goalie, the great defenseman, and then the, you know, the offensive, you know, stars of Kucherov and Stamkos. And then you just add those other guys, Point and the like, and they kind of contribute. So it starts there. Just, again, these are generational, amazing players, and they got four of them.
Now, what's really interesting, real quick, Andrei Vasilevskiy, Igor Shesterkin, regular season and playoffs, Vasilevskiy's 47-21-5, Shesterkin 44-18-4. Goals against Vasilevskiy 2.45, Shesterkin 2.2. Save percentage, Vasilevskiy 919, Shesterkin 933. Shutouts, Vasilevskiy 3, Shesterkin 6. That's including the regular season and the playoffs. Rangers have some momentum. They've beaten Tampa Bay all three times in the regular season this year. The Lightning, though, have been resting for 8 days. That could be good and bad in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Rangers are on a roll, and will take the Lightning, a period or so to get going here.
I think you've got a goalie that was the hottest guy on earth, and he just had 8 days off.
Yeah.
You know, how sharp is he going to be in the first period? I don't know. I'm curious to find out.
Yeah, and Shesterkin as well, who's just absolutely on fire right now. So, again, I think all the games are going to be low. I would bet the under at every single one. But tonight's game, game one, is going to be in New York in Madison Square Garden. Place is going to be going nuts. They're definitely out. And sometimes you get on a roll like that, you win all these close series coming from behind twice like they did.
Mm-hmm.
You can ride that all the way to the finals.
Yeah.
It can happen. God, I'd hate to see that. But
well, it could happen.
But it should be fun. Total opposite, and not that there's not offensive talent on both sides, but it's not quite the same as Edmonton and Colorado.
All right, coming up, got Cedric Maxwell will be with us. We'll start our preview for Game One of the NBA Finals with the Celtics and the Warriors. Also, this week's half price dining deal on ESPNSWFL.com. That's our website. Is Llama's House. In Miramar Outlets, with food from Peru, plus burgers, salads, entire menu, and their own specialty drinks and beers. You get a $50 gift card to Llama's House right now at ESPNSWFL.com for just $25, so hence the half off. And keep listening for your chance to just flat out win a $50 gift card. That is coming up later on. Cedric Maxwell next. Sheeman and Shepherd rolling through a hump day Wednesday on ESPN.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
West Florida.
I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. Chris on the other side of the glass. Sheeman to Shepard on ESPN Southwest Florida. Lots going on today. Cedric Maxwell will be joining us in just a moment. We'll talk to NBA Finals. I'm sure Wig will check in next hour. His Rangers on a Wig Wednesday taking on the Lightning. We have Wikipedia and Wednesday Wisdom Fun Facts. All that on the slate before we leave the airwaves today. Big, big day. While we wait for said, I saw a text earlier today, Michigan Pop checking in, bet the Detroit Tigers tonight with Scooble throwing. By the way, your Red Sox let me down big time last night.
Oh, please. It was pathetic. That's probably, that was Cincinnati's first win in Boston since the Game 7 of the 75 World Series when Joe Morgan, a little blooper over Denny Giles.
That's old school.
Imagine
right
that.
There. Yeah.
But Red Sox had second and third, nobody out. In the ninth inning, they only had like one hit going into the air. It was just pathetic. They get the run in on an infield hit. So now they got first and third in the ninth with nobody out, and couldn't get the tying run. Get it in. And he had Bogey and Bogarts and Story K the last two outs.
Your last couple games, you've lost to the lowly Reds and the lowly Baltimore Orioles. What is going on?
I don't know.
I can't have that.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to say. I hate starting the week off 0-1. I haven't been 0-1 in a while. We'll bounce back tonight, though.
We'll bounce back. All right. Well,
we'll give him 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. We'll get, again, said we're efforting him. He'll be on.
Yep.
All right. And then I'll get Rick Kamla on, too, at some point in the next day or two. Formerly of NBA TV.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got here. Some other texts that were coming in. NASCAR guy said, I'm trying to call. We'll hold off on the calls. We're going to have a guest here. I don't want to leave y'all on hold for a long time. Let's see what else we got here. Arctic Bills fan. One hit, one lousy hit, said Bob Uecker.
Well, that's major league. Yes, I know what he means.
That's pretty funny. Art.
That's all we got is one GD lousy hit as it battled Jack Daniels sitting to his right.
Art, did you get a new pet turtle or something? I hesitate to ask. A Russian turtle?
Yeah.
He's not going to eat it in like turtle soup or anything, is he? This is a pet.
Be delicious.
But it's a pet.
You can eat a pet.
No, Chris.
Do you ever lived on a farm?
That would be tough. Raising a chicken and then cutting
its head
off.
How about a cow?
I've done it.
Not a cow.
What do you mean you've done it? You've done what? You've raised a chicken and cut its head off and ate it? That's a bold-faced lie.
Yeah, that was a lie.
You're not chicken people.
You called me on it. I had chicken noodle soup for dinner last night.
Nice.
That was somebody's
homemade?
Pet. That was Will Purdue's pet.
Was it homemade?
Yeah.
Or in a can?
Yeah. Homemade.
Well, that could be delightful.
It was.
Very nice.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. My kids like the broth, though, not the guts. So I'm left with more like chicken and dumplings.
There ain't nothing wrong with that.
No, I'm fine with that. Had it for lunch today, too.
So Monday, and I had enough left over for yesterday. One of my wife's favorite summertime dinner are the chicken quarters, the dark meat, barbecue, potato salad, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, when you grill the chicken quarters, you know, everyone, you can have some veins and some redness in there, and you're never quite sure if you got it cooked all the way, but you don't want to overcook it. So I sous vide it first to 145 degrees then browned it up and barbecued it, and it was perfect.
Good
job. Delicious. Mm-mm-mm.
New car smell. Going to Top Gun tonight. How much is going to set me back? Well, it depends on.
If you go to IMAX, it's going to be $50 for two people.
Yeah, and that's not including food.
Pop some popcorn at your house. Throw it in your pockets. A bottle of Coca-Cola.
Slip it in your sock.
Put it in the back pocket.
Right.
Yeah. Michigan pop was something that I missed, but it's a great observation from Top Gun.
It is a great observation.
I missed the main conversation about the new Top Gun last Friday while I was working. Just wondered if you guys caught who Jennifer Connelly's character was. Penny Benjamin from the first Top Gun when he's getting reamed out at the beginning after doing the...
He goes with five, you know, with, it goes with five passes over towers and one admiral's daughter.
Yeah.
And that's when Goose goes, Penny Benjamin. Was that, I even forget, was she Penny in the story?
Yeah.
Oh,
I thought you caught that and told me that last week.
No.
I didn't pick that up.
I didn't either.
I've read about it so many times I knew it.
It was a great piece of writing for them. Tip of the
hat.
Although
an admiral's daughter working in a bar, I guess in Miramar, an admiral's daughter working in a bar.
She owns the bar.
She owned it. Yeah,
it's Ocean Front Bar, dude, Coronado, San Diego.
Making a ton of money. I get it. Yeah.
That's a high piece property, right?
She owned it. She's working behind the bar, so.
Okay, Arctic Bills fan. No, another picture of the turtle, but I'm catching soft shell turtle for etouffee August 1st.
Mm.
So you got one turtle as a pet, but then another one that you're eating. Any internal conflict, Art? Just kind of curious.
Is Max not picking up? I texted him.
Green Falcon says, I've butchered chickens my entire life. The feather plucking is the worst. You won't want to eat chicken for a week after that. Stammer Time says, chicken has to be cooked to 165. I don't think so. I think 145. I looked it up.
Okay.
Anyway, after we did it to 145, maybe it is 165, I then put it on the grill for a little while afterwards. So it was...
165 is what chicken should be cooked to.
Pork, too.
Yeah. Right. Well, it was warm enough. I mean, we got it up to, because I put it on the grill afterward for a while.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I think you know if you ate raw chicken.
Yeah, it wasn't raw. Again, I think sometimes with the dark meat and the legs, it's sometimes hard to tell.
Hmm.
Dopey says Jennifer Connelly is hot. She was really hot in the Flock of Seagulls video, Space Age Love Song. I did not know that. That must have been one of her early acting debuts, much like what's her name in the Bruce Springsteen video, Dancing in the Dark.
Cox.
Courtney Cox.
Courtney Cox.
Yeah.
Easy over there, Chris.
You scared me right there a little bit.
This chick in Top Gun, she's an Academy Award winner.
Yeah.
For what?
Hold on.
It's not important. It's not important.
Well, it kind of is.
I forget. It's
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
No,
the new one with Johnny Depp.
By the way,
He
just won.
Yeah. So you want to know the deal?
$50 million or $100 million?
No,
he was suing her for $50 million. She was countersuing for $100 million.
Here's what Johnny. The last thing, jury awards that Depp must pay her $2 million in compensatory damages and no punitive damages. However, the final verdict is a net of $13 million. Going from Heard to Depp. So Johnny nets $13 million out of this.
Yeah, but does he get Pirates of the Caribbean back? Because he lost that gig. That was what prompted this lawsuit.
I don't know.
And they've already moved on, and they were going to have they were going to do a female. We'll get back to that.
I don't know.
We'll get back to that in a moment. We have more important things to do right now. Cedric Maxwell is on the phone. Former NBA Finals MVP, two-time champion with the Celtics and on their radio crew. And he joins us right now to help us preview game one of the NBA Finals and a friend of the program he's been on before. Cedric, how are you?
Hey, Max.
I am doing fine, gentlemen. And Mr. Pete Shepard. Also, I'm doing just fine here in San Francisco. It is a balmy 73 degrees, something like that, in downtown San Francisco, but it is a beautiful day. It's very sunny.
Well, I must say, there's no way Larry Bird, if they had won it in Boston in Game 6, could have done the trophy presentation any better than what you did. You were in your moment. I mean, you should have your own Netflix show. That was something. How cool was that, you getting to do that? Did you expect that?
Well, Pete, I was trying to go opposite of what I saw when Golden State got theirs. And it was Livingston gave it out. And it was, I'm giving the trophy out to Golden State Warriors. And here's the end. Look, Pete, you know me. My personality is bigger than that. So I tried to add a little pizzazz to it. and it was really cool being out on the floor. I think I thanked Miami.
Yes.
And then I said, you know, how about them damn Celtics? And, you know, if kids haven't heard that word before, God bless them.
And your T-shirts now, your marketing T-shirts with your face on it.
There you go. That's what happens.
Wait a minute. I want to. Do you ever do anything without pizzazz? Seriously.
No. Not a lot of stuff. That wouldn't be my persona. Not to bring a little juice. I mean, as an analyst, that's what you do as an analyst. You try to bring a little juice to the broadcast. So now pizzazz would be a great word for me. If you were putting something on my tombstone and you wanted to erase my name and just put pizzazz up there, I think I'd be good.
That is cool. That'd be a cool nickname.
Well, Celts and Warriors 1-2 respectively, defensive efficiency during the regular season. Finals, first finals to feature top two teams in that category since the Bulls in Seattle in 96. And I think there's some unbelievable, intriguing matchups in this one, Max. And I know on one of your podcasts the other day you talked about Celtics maybe having to get a little bit physical with Curry. But what matchups intrigue you the most coming up in this series?
Well, I think the one that comes out at me instantly is going to be the initial point of attack, and that's Steph Curry and Marcus Smart. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I think if that battle is can somehow neutralize Curry and not have him go crazy, you get a greater opportunity to win. Andrew Wiggins is going to be one. Is he off that snide now where he's going to be a complete player during the playoffs, or will he be an enigma? You know, obviously Tatum and Brown, you look at them as the dynamic duo and what they can do. And so, I mean, it's going to be a good matchup. But I think for me, and I'll jump you here, Pete, what I'm going to do, I'm going to favor the Celtics. So don't get your betters out right now. I'm going to say the Celtics in six. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that, because I think their defense travels well. Hold on. Is Pete still there?
Yeah.
I don't know if he ran out to his bookie or not.
That's bookie.
All right, don't do that anymore. It's right online.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Pete.
Well, you know, I look at it, you know, and I think people forget. Obviously, 123 games of experience in the finals that the Warriors have. The Celtics have none. But that doesn't mean the Celtics haven't been battle tested. They've been to, you know, since 2012, they've been to the ECF five times. They certainly had a tougher road getting there. I mean, they had, you know, and the talent they had to play, I think overall was better in the play. And obviously, the series went longer and Golden State's more rested. But, you know, Denver, Memphis, and Dallas, with all due respect, was not Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and Miami. So
that's true.
It doesn't take away Golden State's greatness. It doesn't take away Golden State's greatness by any stretch. But the Celtics have certainly been battle tested pretty much going into this series.
That is so true. And of the teams that you name, when you start talking about that, those teams that Golden State played, who gave them the most trouble? And it was Memphis, because they were very physical. So I think that if you look at the Celtics, they're more physical, more complete ball club. I think a more intelligent basketball club. So I like their opportunities. Their defense is more like Coach Ime Udoka. What he's done has been outstanding, of getting these guys to play together and understand that, you know, it's going to be, you're going to win together, you're going to lose together. And right now they found great ways to win together.
Talking with Cedric Maxwell, Shemita Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. I want to follow up on that very point. Coach Udoka versus the style of Brad Stevens, who I think was a very good basketball coach.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference in their style from what you see?
I think Ime is more like Greg Popovich. Mm-hmm. He is more willing to get into the players' faces and saying, this is what has to happen. Or like, damn it, you made a mistake and you have to do this. So I think that Brad was not under that line. Brad would jump on the sword for the players. Well, you know, it wasn't their fault. Maybe the coaches didn't convey. No, he may have said, no, that was his fault. This is what we wanted to do. And what he did, he may learn this lesson from Greg Popovich, coaches San Antonio Spurs. And he said, Greg Popovich would jump down the throat of Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, the best players that you have. And when you do that and they respond in kind, then everybody else is going to follow suit. This is what Ime has done, the same thing. He's gone on that page where he's gone to Tatum, he's gone to Brown, and he's going to Smart. Your best three players, and because you're able to have that relationship with them, it's an honest give and take. I think that the team has done better for it.
You know, most of the national media is focusing on the Splash Brothers, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and, of course, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. But I'm looking at, you know, I go deeper than that, Max. You know that. I'm looking down low. I'm looking at Horford, Robert Williams III, and, you know, Draymond Green and those type of matchups. Once you get past the free throw line, and who's going to have the bigger impact going to the hoop?
That is so true. And you think about Golden State, they're not a very big basketball club. Looney has played well for him, but other than that, you think Draymond is about 6'8". Horford is about 6'10". Rob Williams plays like a 7-footer. So the Celtics have an advantage to me. And one wild card you want to look at that people are missing out on is going to be Grant Williams. And I'll talk about it later on. You say, Grant Williams. Grant Williams has been among the leaders in 3-point efficiency. And also, he has been a hell of a defender. So when you think about something like the switch all over the place, you switch from strength to strength, not from strength to weaknesses that a lot of other teams do when they switch to pick and roll.
By the way, Draymond Green is all upset that he didn't make the first team all-defensive team. He only played 46 games, though. So, you know, I don't know what he's all bent out of shape over.
Hell, I'm upset right now. I don't have some of that money that my ex-wife took from me. Is that something else new? Give me something to build a bridge with, okay? Hey, come on, Draymond. Think about something, all right?
One concern I have, and it's not that Golden State doesn't turn the ball over. Every team does. But a couple of times in the playoffs, Milwaukee and in Miami, you know, you have Jalen have 6 in one half. He didn't have any in the second half, I think. And, you know, Tatum and Smart have had their moments of turning the ball over 4 or 5 times in a row, not the same player. But you know what I'm saying? And that can't happen, I don't think, against this team, Max, right? Because you find yourself down by 15 in 2 seconds.
You, Pete, because right now you are a typical, you're not Florida, but you're a typical Boston person. And looking at it going, oh, my God. Like there's a guy up there named, you know him, Michael Felger, one of the critics up there in Boston. Yeah. He goes, well, oh, my God, the Celtics almost lost that game. Well, they don't put that on your ring, I don't think. Yeah. Well, you won or you lost. That's how that goes.
No.
And I think he tried to say Marcus Smart took these shots late. Well, he was forced to take them because they took the shots away from Brown. They took the shots away from Tatum, and Marcus just missed the shot.
Yeah.
But without Marcus, my belief is that without Marcus, you wouldn't have won that game either way. So I think that you just have to look at was it half full or half empty when you look at the glass?
Oh, I'm looking at half full, trust me. I'm just saying, you know, I just don't want to see them turn the ball over a couple of times, like they did in the series against Miami, against Golden State. I don't want to see them have to climb back. You know, they could score 15 points in a heartbeat. But the Celtics have had runs like that too. I think people are forgetting that they've gone on a 22-2 run and gone on 15-3 runs. So I mean, I think it's going to be interesting. To me, is the overwhelming factor in this going to be which team plays better perimeter defense, you think, or is it going to be down low like we talked about?
I think it's going to be a couple of things. One, I think it's going to be the team that plays the best defense to me is going to, you know, get a big opportunity. The team that doesn't turn the ball over more. Execution on both ends of the floor. Controlling Curry, not letting him get a lot of open looks from the three-point line. And here's the thing that the Celtics and everybody else try to do when Curry's on the floor. They try to put him defending the basketball in a pick and roll. So what you're doing by putting Curry in a pick and roll, you take away his legs because now he can't just save that energy for the offensive end. You make him play defense. And here's the word everybody likes to use, Pete, the big word, accountability.
Yeah.
So you make him accountable on the defensive end, and that might slow the Warriors down some too.
All right, enough of this X and an on for a minute here. You know, Marcus Smart and Tyler Hero and guys that are on the bench, and there's been a lot of injuries. They're wearing beachwear now on the sidelines over there. Said in the instances when you didn't play, what were you suited and booted on the sideline? What were you wearing back in the day?
Because we're always suited and booted. Yeah. That's when you came to the league
Yeah,
I came in under Tommy Heinsohn and the Red Auerbach, and when you got on the plane, you were representing the organization. So the most thing you could do, you had to, you didn't have to wear a tie, but if you didn't wear a tie, you had to wear a mock turtleneck. Mm. Well, it's different now in the fact that each team has its own plane and they fly individual. But I'm like you. I'm not interested in seeing a guy on the damn sideline with his damn pajamas on. I'm really not. To me, it's about, you know, about respecting the game. It's about respecting your peers and about showing a certain class to your organization. You know, Marcus Smart with the orange swimwear on. But, you know, the game has changed so much where players, you know, they're able to show their individuality. By doing that, Marcus Smart right now with the green hair. Yeah. I mean, during my particular time, if a guy had green hair, oh my God, he was about to get run out of town. So I mean, it's a different feel right now. Here again, we have to be politically correct and understand that everybody's an individual. BS about that. Come on.
All right, last thing. So what are you doing the rest of the day? Your longtime radio partner, Sean Grandy, great play-by-play voice. I know he doesn't drink. At least he wasn't. So he's probably having a milkshake. What are you guys doing the rest of the day?
Well, not we, Pete. We don't do anything.
I know that.
We leave the games. That's it for us. Now, what I'll be doing today, I just went to California Pizza Kitchen.
Oh, nice.
I got a haircut, and I'm sitting out here in the sun on the bench talking to you. There's a Metroplex over here with the AMC Theater. I didn't see Doctor Strange.
Very good.
I wanted to see that movie, so I might end up going to see that.
You see Maverick? Did you see Maverick?
We're staying at the Four Seasons Hotel is right behind me. Ideal for, you know, lounging for, you know, a young gentleman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just a beautiful thing. So that would be my day. Now there's a guy, you can barely hear him. There's a guy here kind of wacky right now, screaming at the top of his lungs. This is San Francisco, and maybe with some people, obviously has to be some mental illness going along with him.
Well, you didn't see Maverick yet?
No, I didn't. Maverick, go see that. No.
The Top Gun. Go see that. You saw Top Gun, right?
Yeah.
I'm not interested in seeing that. Maverick isn't one of those things. I'm more like a Marvel sci-fi type person.
Me too.
Those are the movies I like. I'm not a Maverick, Top Gun type person. So that wouldn't interest me as much as like some kind of sci-fi takes me to another world, things that really couldn't happen.
Doctor Strange is excellent. Very dark movie. You'll like it.
All right.
Well, I'm gonna take a nap before I go over there because I know me. If I go in there now, I'll be sound asleep. And they'll be running the last credits going. All right, sir, wake up.
What happened? All right, Cedric, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks so much. All the best to you and Sean and everybody. And have a great broadcast. Have a great series. We'll talk soon.
Let's go C's.
All right, that is Cedric Maxwell, broadcaster with the Celtics, former two-time NBA. Champion and one-time NBA Finals MVP.
The Four C's. I can just picture it. I just picture him.
All right. I got some thoughts on what he said. We'll come right back. Mm-hmm. And coming up next hour, Wikipedia, your chance to play Pete Shepard and win breakfast or lunch from Biggie's Place in Fort Myers off Fowler Street. Wikipedia every day, 4:45. This week from Biggie's Place. Sheeman and Shepard, ESPN, Southwest Florida. I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepard, Chris on the other side of the glass. Sheeman is Shepard, ESPN Southwest Florida. Apologize, it'll be a short segment here. We ran long with Cedric Maxwell, but it was worth it. It was gold. Ukraine up 2-0 over Scotland in the 53rd minute. I got a couple comments. So, first of all, so he said he and his play-by-play guy don't hang out at all? Was he joking?
Sean is... Sean is kind of like you.
Is he a teetotaler?
He's not a big. He never has been. I've known him for a long time now, 30 years.
But Cedric likes to party, and Sean's kind of low key.
I actually replaced him in Boston. He went to do the Minnesota Timberwolves TV play-by-play job.
Yeah.
Back in 1998 or 99.
KG.
And that's when, and I took over his role on the Big Show and. Everything just took off for me after that. I was already working at EEI, but I was doing 7 days a week doing updates and then my own show on Saturday and Sundays, like 7 days a week. But
yeah.
You just did it. And then the opportunity came because Sean went to Minnesota to do the Timberwolves. So, no, he just, no, that's, you know, Max is a, an extrovert, and Sean is more, you know, I'll stay at home, read a book after the game, and
does do sound my like, thing. That fun. Does sound like me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm more in Max's camp, but.
Yeah. Although Max said Celtics in six, he knew of your, shall we say, propensity to put Skittles down on certain action.
Oh, you know, I'm sure.
He interrupted himself mid-sentence because he suspected you may be gone putting a bet in.
I'm just thinking, I think it's a seven-game series. I'm not making any prediction. I just think it's a long seven-game series. The only thing I did, because it was a good value, I put 10 to win 100 on Jaylen Brown as MVP because it's good value there.
Okay.
And that's all. I'll probably put something the other way on Golden State on, you know, a 10-to-1 type of value. It's easy to put, you know, Steph Curry on there and Jason Tatum.
But of all the times he's been in the finals, yep. Steph has never been the finals MVP.
I know. And remember, the media voting on this stuff, so that's, you know, that's where you got to
temperamental votes.
After what we just heard, voting on the NBA defensive team, and you heard Jalen Rose who said he voted for Kyrie Irving.
Like,
so, I mean,
yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that happens that infuriates you. It's like you shouldn't even be thinking along those lines.
Yep.
But
well, Cedric likes his new nickname to be Pizzazz. It's a great conversation.
Yeah,
always enjoy talking to him.
Yeah, he's very, very good. And the funniest thing was back in when they won in 2008. And Sean loves soliloquies. At the end, you know, he's going through this whole thing, you know, wrapping it up and blah, 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 and the South, and, you know, and what a series with the Lakers and yeah, blah, blah. He's going through this whole thing that he thinks you're giving him, you think you're getting goosebumps, but you're really like, just ended already, you know, whatever. And all of a sudden, Max just screams into the microphone. He was standing on the other side of the car. I got the ball. He had the game ball. Totally interrupted what Sean was saying. So we did bits about Pete Gustin, who you know. Those of you know Pete Gustin's voice on this station. Very deep. You know it. It used to be one of our main voice guys in Boston. We did a whole bit on great moments in sports history, right? So if, like, Bobby Thompson shot heard around the world, a long driver, and right in the middle, I got the ball. Then you hear 5 seconds to the goal, 4 seconds, 3, 2, I got the ball. And, I mean, tons of stuff from hockey to NASCAR to everything. I got the ball. It was just it's one of the greatest bits I have ever
so
heard.
That's why you interrupt me all the time. That makes sense now. I've seen the light. Or you could just listen to the App State call of the end of the Michigan game years ago. Yeah, that's a
we had that too. That was part of it. I got the ball.
That's funny.
Someday I will get that bit. I will try to find it. It is really, really funny. But.
All right, coming up 4 o'clock hour, got Wikipedia. Don't forget Wednesday with some fun facts. I imagine Wig will call in. Wig Wednesday and his Rangers taking on the Lightning tonight, among other things. Plus, if you want to jump in, now's a good time. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Sheeman and Shepherd, ESPN, Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.